This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:36 in the morning, Thursday the 22nd of April, and you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning and with Philip C. Now, today is Earth Day, and the call for Earth Day this year is to restore our Earth, and the search is on for a unified global response to fix our degraded environment and tackle the breakdown of many of our natural systems. So join us today as we explore topics that look at the natural processes, emerging green technologies, and innovative thinking that can restore the world's ecosystem. So tune in throughout the day for our world Earth Day specials. But in the meantime, because it is Earth Day, we are having a rather special breakfast grill. Philip, why don't you tell us about it,
yes,
please?
Yes, that's right. So Roshan is grilling Jay Mariappan. He's the head of new energy at Petronas. Now, we know that all majors around the world attempt to plan for the future and diversify away from oil. Petronas says that the establishment of their new energy division places them in prime position to pursue domestic and international renewable market share to power the world with clean energy. What is New Energy's mandate and timeline, and how will they get there? We speak to Dr. Jay Mariappan to find out.
So this is going to be very interesting, whether the country's oil and gas company can pivot to new energy and be a little greener. That's going to be happening after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But in the meantime, we're going to be talking about two of my favourite things, luxury and beauty brands. Because LVMH, L'Oreal and Kering have come out to say that their first quarter numbers were very strong, reassuring industry watchers that COVID pandemic is finally in the rear view mirror for these brands. So total revenues for LVMH reached 14 billion euros with organic revenue growth over the same period last year up 30%. L'Oreal's quarterly sales numbers also came in at 7.6 billion euros, up from 7.23 billion euros in the previous year.
Now, earlier this week, Kering's first quarter sales was at 3.9 billion euros, up 21% from 3.2 billion euros last year. Now, what's driving this post-pandemic recovery in the luxury and beauty landscape? Is it sustainable? And what will it look like for the rest of the year as recovery is projected to continue due to the vaccine rollouts?
So for more on this, we speak to Deborah Atkin, who is the Senior Industry Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Good morning, Deborah. Now, so what we know is brands like LVMH and L'Oreal recently announced results which beat expectations. What's really behind this surge for their good numbers?
Yeah, so LVMH's fashion and leather goods division, really, which is almost half of its sales, the brands Louis Vuitton and Christian Dior, I mean, they led with growth in excess of 50% in Q1. Though generally, we would say that revenue was well recovered in most categories versus 1Q20's really heavy dip. So you have wines and spirits, perfumes and jewellery also doing very well. And we expect other luxury makers to benefit from those categories. And then switching to L'Oreal. So really premium skincare and active derma skincare performed best through the whole of 2020. And we see that continuing in 2021 with these results confirming that. When open, though, also hair salons rebounded, where L'Oreal is the number one by market share. And the area for both of these companies where we're still watching out is travel retail, duty-free and lower volumes of makeup, which would help to deliver full recovery once markets opens for those categories.
Are these results reflective of a sustained recovery in the larger luxury retail segment with the same factors driving it globally?
Yep, big brand fashion and leather goods, jewellery, skincare have returned to lead growth rates, same as we saw in 2019 pre-pandemic. And if I think about it, I suppose by region, China and the US support most growth, but also we have Japan in recovery on domestic demand. South Korea has been positive. Other Asia and Middle East are very much brand by brand recovery. So we are seeing sustained recoveries and in the way we would expect it. And just as an aside from my side, Europe's rebuild is very much linked to any return of both the local and international tourist. Though third wave lockdowns and curfews are overriding that for now. So it is a mixed picture, but it is as we expected in terms of recovery.
So Deborah, do you expect the growth to continue throughout the year? I mean, what will be the major challenges for luxury retail brands moving forward then?
Yeah, I think revenues for the luxury peer group we follow overall on Bloomberg Intelligence fell 17% on average in 2020 and earnings were down 38%. So it's very early in reporting season for now, but we are expecting to see really a recovery, slightly more than average, particularly on the revenue line. For 2021, like LVMH's revenues for 2021 are due to be 28% higher on consensus for the year, which would be up 8% versus 2019. And as you said earlier, LVMH started the season as the number one, the biggest times three versus another peer, and coming out with a really solid 1Q. When we get to 2Q, these companies face the easiest comparables because we had the end of Asia closure, and then we had the US and Europe joining those through the second quarter. So half one should be really big rebuild on revenue. In terms of that ensuing throughout the rest of the year and versus that easy one half comparison, we then move to think about reinstatement of designs, events, improved owned and third-party partnerships in e-commerce, and marketing being very much too half-weighted with flexibility around reopenings. We may need to wait until 2022 for scale from international travel. That's the other side of it. But overall, because of the very big dips in the way that the companies have very much become more flexible and cost-contained, we're looking for strong improvement half one and then company-related improvement through the second half.
What are the growing markets for luxury? Will China continue to be the market that cannot be ignored?
Outside of the traditional store concept, ready-to-wear and leather goods, footwear, jewellery and watches are on the rise. There also is about expansion into categories like skincare and cosmetics. And then aside from that, we move to experiences, self-grooming, health. And especially through the last year, we saw at home, garden, outside, the outdoors, those markets really taken off. And I think they will offer a bigger point of sales and growth potential in the medium term too. Even at entry point for home and garden having taken off, that's the starting point. And we see that right through the home too. So I see there as being big areas to go forward. And then in terms of thinking about, will it continue? Or the other thing I should also point out here is maybe thinking about sustainability too, because of what's happened globally and falling in love with pre-loved and pre-used, so that very much becomes a focus for the next few years too. In terms of, will China continue to be the market that cannot be ignored? And particularly for 2021 and 2022, it will remain hugely focused because the transition from Chinese consumer now making up about 50% of the market in terms of sales at home. And they're about 40% of the global consumer, of which they're doing most of it at home now. It used to be a quarter to a third at home and the other remainder when they traveled. So the market really needs to focus on how China will move out of this pandemic, the lockdowns and back to international travel, and having for the Chinese consumer the product in the right place at the right time.
Now, no doubt with the lockdowns and work from home, online shopping has become a bit of a staple. Now, how does e-commerce factor into the growth of the luxury retail segment, especially given that there's always such an emphasis on the physical retail experience of a luxury brand?
Only 2 years ago, e-commerce was around 10% of luxury goods revenue. And by the end of 2021, we're expecting that to jump to about 20%. So still growing on the huge upside and uptick that we saw in 2020 to around 17% of the market. So we're expecting growth rate approaching about 20%. But thinking about that and splitting it down company by company, back to your question, companies have to think of it differently. So for some, it's really given them a big step up and surge ahead from where their base was. But if I think about LVMH as the biggest to start, think of its peers, three times its scale, and its stores were at an advantage and still do matter for it. So it will continue to have new e-commerce projects, but I don't see it being more than 10, 15% of its sales in the midterm. When we go to the other end, Farfetch is the global luxury marketplace, and it absolutely led in terms of share price appreciation through 2020 of all of the luxury peer group. Now, the way that it works is it really directly with the makers and sellers, seamless ordering and delivery. And that has really bridged the thought gap as well on the way physical, digital, omni-channel activity of an ability of these brands can work forward.
We're also seeing a phenomenon of the rise of the resale or luxury consignment segment, largely driven by millennials and Gen Z in the long term. Where do millennials and Gen Z fit in the luxury retail market? How important are they to these brands?
Hugely important. At one point in time, I'd say pre-2020, they have been, in terms of growth, propping up at some point 70 to 80% of the growth rate across the luxury goods market. So not only can they not be ignored, but they really must be focused upon for future generations too, and the way that they will adapt their ability to spend. Now, if we take it to one side, so e-commerce leaders such as Farfetch list a pre-loved segment, while we think of ThredUp's pending IPO, which follows closely after Poshmark's, the Real Vestiaire, just some of the others finding space against first ownership across Tmall's Luxury Pavilion, JD.com, Amazon, eBay. So there's so much going on, not only on interim move into low-end versus high-end and into new product versus pre-loved and pre-owned, but also we have companies also acquiring product for second-hand market listings such as Richemont's acquisition of Watchfinder. So that is all absolutely focused on what the younger and the new consumer wants moving into the sector. And the other side of that too, which I see as being a big focus for the next 5 years, is rental and the subscription market, like Rent the Runway, which offers another alternative for borrowing of goods. So it's not ownership of goods, but it's just lease and borrowing of those goods. And they feed to the importance of what the millennial and the Gen Z is after in terms of security, fairness of production, sourcing of production, as well as longevity. And that fits to the luxury heritage storyline more than ever.
Thank you for your time. That was Deborah Atkins, Senior Industry Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, giving us the lowdown in terms of how luxury brands and beauty have really recovered from COVID-19. The economic crisis, it seems like sales have started to increase tremendously. And even though people are working from home, the fact is that these brands have managed to pivot to omni-channel marketing, which I think applies to any retail brand. That's the reality. But if I look at the listed companies, the luxury listed companies, that's clearly reflected in their share price performance. So LVMH just up 12% on a 1 month basis. Christian Dior up 17%. Kering Group 13%. Even Hermes is up almost close to 10%. So market is already anticipating. I think actually as borders reopen, people go back to the shops, there should be, maybe there is this pent up demand.
Yeah, I think the point about omnichannel is interesting, because they're saying that just 2-3 years ago, it was about 10% penetration through e-commerce. That's really rocketed to 20% and expected to grow 20% year on year.
And the thing you can't ignore is the Chinese market. That is still going to be the largest luxury market. And face it, they are not having a lockdown. Sales in Hainan Island have tremendously increased. That's the duty-free capital of China. So that's something to watch out for, especially as the Chinese continue to spend. But up next, we'll be discussing the National Investment Strategy with MP for Bangi, Dr. Ong Kian Ming. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.